welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started this morning. We're going to start with a passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 13. This is a wonderful little exhortation of remembrance. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 and 9, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It goes on to say, don't be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. This is the Passion says, Jesus, the Anointed One, is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So don't let anyone lead you astray with all sorts of novel and exotic teachings. It is more beautiful to feast on grace than be inwardly strengthened than to be obsessed with dietary rules which in themselves have no lasting benefit. A great little exhortation about, you could kind of put it this way, this is a nice little verse that tells us in a very indirect way, major on the majors and minor on the minors. You know, don't get caught up on a bunch of stuff and rules and regulations and things like that. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. That there is a focus and emphasis on Jesus. I think we sing a song, it always was you, it is you, always will be you. You know, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I love how that the scripture clearly puts it. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is a great time of year, of course. At Christmas, we kind of watch a lot of different little stories, movies, things that remind us of Christmas and the time, the season, and whatnot. And this morning, you know, I was just kind of thinking about it, and probably one of the movies that I like to watch this time of year is A Christmas Carol. That the Dickens story of A Christmas Carol, Scrooge. And I like to watch that. It's the 1938 version, so it's like 80 years old now. But it's really a really cool little foretelling of the story, of the Christmas story. And so what I wanted to do this morning, and kind of a little bit in the spirit of, you know, this verse, I'm just going to call the title of the message is A Christmas Carol, Turning a Human Heart, okay? Now, if you know much about the story, A Christmas Carol, it's this guy, Ebenezer Scrooge, and he's this dude who is very hard-hearted, miserly, and doesn't like Christmas, doesn't like anything about it. Now, a lot of times when we watch our movies today, and Julie and I kind of joke a little bit about kind of all the Hallmark movies and things that you watch this time of year, these movies that kind of capture the essence and the heart and things like that. We'll kind of joke a little bit about, you know, at the very last 5 minute, you get the 5 minute Hallmark heart change, where everything just turns and works out for the better. You know, it's like, wow, and everybody gets it, and it's on the right page, and it's like, wow, get that 5 minute Hallmark heart change. Well, in A Christmas Carol, there's a changing of a heart, but there's a process that is gone through, a very realistic process that Ebenezer Scrooge goes through with this heart change. It's not a five-minute deal. He's on almost like a journey that is leading to this heart change. And as you look at it, again, he kind of starts out, he is this kind of miserly guy. He really doesn't like the idea of Christmas. He just thinks it's a scam. You know, people's goodwill and all that generosity is just phony. And you know, it's like he's the guy who can see through it, and just that his expression is bah humbug. So you hear that? That's kind of his expression for Christmas. And so, as we look at his life, and we look at some things, again, just kind of a quick plot overview of this movie. The story is that this Ebenezer Scrooge, he had a partner named Jacob Marley, and this night, I guess it's Christmas Eve, the ghost of Jacob Marley, his partner, visits him and says, you're going to be visited by three ghosts in this night. The ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, and then Christmas future, all right? And so as we're walking through this morning, simply I'm calling it a Christmas carol, turning a human heart. We're going to walk through Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future. And as you listen to this message this morning, again, like we always say, there's a message going on up here. Holy Spirit speaking that second message. This really applies so much across the board. You could think about people who need Jesus. And you're thinking, as we're going through here, their heart's being turned to Jesus. You could think of somebody who knows the Lord, but their heart needs to be turned back to the Lord. You could be thinking of yourself. And you're thinking, oh, there's some things that I've been putting off, things that I need to realize that your heart can be turned, all right? There's a lot of different levels as we look at the message this morning, but a Christmas carol, turning a human heart. And as we're looking at this, again, and this is kind of why I started out with this scripture, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same in Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. So as we're walking through Christmas past, present, and future, we're pulling that thread of the sameness of Jesus all the way through. Sometimes our perception of Jesus can change from yesterday, today, to tomorrow, but he's the same. And this is one of the glorious, liberating, freeing things as we walk through heart changes, whether it's somebody else's heart, we're praying for them, or our own heart as we're walking through life. So, a Christmas carol, turning a human heart. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to go back in time and we're going to be visited by Christmas past, going back to Christmas past. And as again, we're kind of looking at the broader picture of this guy, this Ebenezer Scrooge. His heart is changing over time, but there is a process. The first part of that process of his heart change was Christmas past. And I would just put it this way, a time to count your blessings. He's kind of catapulted back in time in this, you know, this guy who's just critical, you know, just kind of, you know, remembers things in kind of a jaded way. Let's take a look at a passage of scripture here in Luke as it relates to this principle. Luke 17:11 says, now it happened as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers and stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. That was it's an interesting story, of course, of Jesus cleansing the lepers, but the impact that Jesus had on somebody who came back to say thank you. An on purpose remembering of God's blessing in your life and giving God thanks for it. Let's take a look at another passage along these lines. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Hill Mizar. What is the psalmist saying? He's cast down. He's frustrated. He's disquieted. But what is he going to do? He's going to stir himself up and he's going to remember. He's going to remember some things. Here's kind of a little bit of an exercise of the psalmist remembering things in a way that he's encouraging himself. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. What is he doing? He's recounting. He's getting himself stirred up. He's remembering on purpose, remembering. In the movie, you again kind of see this jaded guy, this Ebenezer Scrooge, but the Christmas. But when he goes to Christmas past, all of a sudden he's forced to look at good times, good things, blessings, the good things in his life. And as soon as he sees some events and things from his childhood and remembers kindness and goodness and things that people have shown to him, that hard-hearted sense of no acceptance at all and got the world figured out, his heart just begins to soften as he begins to remember certain things. You know, a lot of times we'll kind of hear of, especially as it relates to schools and textbooks and things like that, we'll hear of history revisionists, all right? You'll kind of put together a textbook, and based on your political agenda, you may exclude certain influences of things that might be contrary to your agenda, so you try to retell history from one particular point of view. We call that a revisionist, somebody who's kind of revising history according to their own agenda or plan, so they'll exclude a bunch of stuff that might undermine their broader political agenda. So they're trying to speak a message through a revised version of history. So as you're looking back, you're only seeing it from a certain lens. Satan is a history revisionist when it comes to your life. And that's exactly what he tries to get you to do. He tries to, you live in the present with the perspective of the past, a certain lens, a certain thing in history where you're seeing things from a certain perspective, but you're not remembering the full picture. You're not seeing the full picture of the goodness, the grace, the love. You're just seeing certain things. And what does that cause? It causes that jadedness. It causes that criticalness, that hard-heartedness. This is the way things have been. This is the way things always will be. And a lot of times there's a forgetting that will happen. And we're talking about the process of a heart change. What is really part of the process of the Christmas past? It's really forcing you to look in the eye and say, hey, there has been some goodness here in my life. There has been some mercy. There has been some kindness. There has been some generosity. Look at it. Acknowledge it. Don't exclude it as you're running the math on the way the world is. You're forced to come face to face. And that's what the psalmist did. He said, man, why so downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? You know, hope, I'll yet praise him. Therefore, I will remember. Therefore, I will remember. Therefore, I will remember. You know, you can kind of get into that mode where the old Murphy's Law thing, everything that can go wrong will go wrong, and you just begin to feel unlucky, you know, and all of a sudden it's just like, and you just say attitude and identity and da-da-da-da, and the enemy loves nothing more than that. And what is that Christmas past? You're breaking out of that identity. Say, no, 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 no. I'm not the unlucky guy. I'm blessed. God is for me. And that's kind of where, you know, where we're going with it too. We think the psalmist is going, you know, he divided the sea in two. You know, he made Israel pass through it, overthrew Pharaoh and his chariots. You know, we can say, man, praise God, you know, I'm born again. His mercy endures forever. His Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. His mercy endures forever. He is for me, and there's nothing that can separate me from his love. His mercy endures forever. He cares for me. He ever lives to make intercession for me. His mercy endures forever. I can remind myself of those known quantities, those facts that are true, regardless of what the present might look like. Trying to get me jaded, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to say, yeah, hey, it's okay. His mercy endures forever. Psalm 127, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I would have lost heart unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. So what are we doing? You're getting your heart, you know, back to where you're saying, I believe in the goodness of God again. I believe good. I believe in the goodness of God. It's not all jaded. It's not all bad. You remember the story of the guy who, the master who gave his servants talents. He gave one 10 and 5 and then 1. And the guy who made 10 earned another 10. The guy who got 5 earned another 5. And the guy who had 1 said, here's the talent that you gave me. He said, I just dug it a hole and buried it, and here's what you gave me. You got it right back. He said, I know you're a hard man. You've reaped where you haven't sowed. You know, in other words, he's looking at his master, and he looks at life, and there's things that he doesn't understand, and he's, there you go. You got what you gave me, and you know, no trust, no faith, no anything. Now, the thing of it is whatever that guy with the one talent saw that made him believe that his master was a hard man and dug that hole and buried it, the guy who had the five talents and the guy who had the 10 talents saw the same thing. They were living in the same world. But they came to a different conclusion about their master. And they knew their master was good. They believed in the goodness of their master. A lot of times that life, there will be a perspective on that. And that master said, you're a wicked, you're a slothful servant. In other words, that servant didn't rightly, properly see his master. And so a lot of times when we're in life, we're seeing things, we're seeing the close calls, we're seeing things that we don't understand. Sometimes these are the subtle decisions, the subtle conclusions that we come to that can close our heart to the goodness of God. And we've got to get in that place where we're shaking ourselves up and say, man, praise God, I'll tell you what. One thing that I know, God is good. He's for me. He's with me. Colossians tells us this. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Passion, let every activity of your lives, every word that comes from your lips, be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. In other words, we're getting stirred up to get into a place of thankfulness. What does thankfulness do? It helps break up our heart. It breaks up the fallowness, the jadedness in our heart, the history revision that's going on in our mind that locks us into that place. Man, that's where it is getting broke up. It's where saying, no, praise God. Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies and he's subtle. And he's revising the history of my life in a way that's not true. I'm good. I'm blessed. Thank God I know you. I remember just one time crying out to God at the edge of my bed saying, thank God, Lord. There's so many people who have a concept of Christianity and are going through the religious motions of it. But I see it. I see you. This is for real. This is not a show. You're really alive and you're really in me and I get it. And I've received your forgiveness. In my mind, I'd see people, hundreds, thousands, and I'd say, thank you. The gratitude of knowing I'm born again, of knowing that I know him, the reality of just that sinking in on you. It's like, wow, this is amazing. Praise God. All of a sudden, there's an attitude of thankfulness, appreciation, that just changes everything. We're talking about, again, this is not a five-minute Hallmark heart change. There's a process. Part of that process is going back and on purpose making yourself look at the goodness of God in your life, forcing yourself to remember, if you want to say, count your many blessings, however you want to put that. It's like, you know, think of Jesus told the story of the parable of the unforgiving servant. I mean, this guy was forgiven millions of dollars, and he sees somebody on the street that owes him 20 bucks and starts strangling him, pay me what you owe or I'm going to throw you in prison. Well, that's a guy who forgot how generously he was treated. And we're human beings. It's easy to forget. We have to stir ourselves up because no matter how blessed we are, you know, it's like we can't, you know, we can't forget. It's like Israel. I remember watching Moses in the Ten Commandments, seeing all those miracles and the supernatural way God, through the plagues, delivered those Hebrew children. Think, wow, you could never doubt God again. They get in, you know, get over to the other side and, you know, getting ready to, Moses goes up in the mountain after they're delivered from Egypt, and all of a sudden they begin partying like the Egyptians before too long, forgetting the amazing, supernatural, miraculous deliverance that God did in their lives to get them to where they are. And again, that's kind of where we've got to be like the psalmist. That's where they kind of learn that. To him who divided the sea in two, his mercy endures forever. Made Israel pass through the midst of it, his mercy endures forever. Why are they doing that? Because there was a time when that just happened that they made a golden calf to worship a pagan god right after that happened. And the psalmist is like saying, "Not no more. We're not going to do that again. Now we're going to remember that even though he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea when they tried to do it, his mercy endures forever. I'm putting myself in remembrance of God's blessing and his goodness in my life. You know, I'm waiting on this healing for here. Yeah, well, what has he healed? He's healed this, and he's healed this, and he's healed this. I need this financial provision. Look at what he has provided, this and this and this. Remind yourself of his goodness in these other areas of our lives, and remember what he's done. If you got a blessing book, sometimes you get that, and you write in it, pull that out. His mercy endures forever. What is it? We're talking about a history revisionist. Satan is a subtle history revisionist, and unless you stir that up, the history in your mind will be very jaded and very one-sided, excluding important influences that help shape who you are today. So what are we doing? The heart change. We're going to the Christmas past, and we're saying, thank you, Lord. It's a time to count our blessings. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to look at Christmas present, all right? Christmas present. Our God is a present help in Christmas present. Psalm 46, 1 through 2, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The message says, God is a safe place to hide, ready to help when we need him. We stand fearless at the cliff edge of doom, courageous in sea storm and earthquake. I love that picture. It's showing that he's a very present help in time of trouble. And this, to me, is such an important aspect when we're talking about the heart change. We got to get stirred up about what God has done in our past, but we've also got to remember, too, that he is a present help. Hebrews 4:15-16, for we don't have a high priest who can't be sympathized with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's talking present tense, present time. He is here now. This is a great thing to be stirred up, because sometimes as we look back, we can look back fondly, maybe in our first love of Jesus, maybe of what he did for us in the early days. Supernatural things just seem to come easy. Maybe you've got some stories to tell of what God did in that Christmas past. Amazing stuff. But now we're in Christmas present, and it just doesn't seem the same. This is where we've got to stir ourselves up and remember something. Jesus is the same today. It's not just that he healed yesterday and he'll still heal today. That sweet, loving Jesus that you had intimate fellowship then is the same sweet, loving Jesus you can have fellowship with now. The way he sounded then is the way he sounds now. And 2,000 years from now, whether you're looking back or forward, when we've shed these mortal bodies, he'll sound the same way in the future. Still meek, lowly in heart, pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy and good fruits. That voice is the same. And sometimes, again, in our minds, we can kind of get a paradigm like, well, I remember that, the glory, the good old days. No. He's the same today in our lives. His intimate relational fellowship with us is the same. Nothing has changed in terms of his desire, his hunger for us. A lot of times we'll say, we kind of talk about our love for God in terms of being on fire for God. I remember back in Christmas past when I was on fire for God. Something's happened to the fire today. Well, whether you're on fire today, whether you're not on fire today, I can tell you one thing that's constant. Jesus was on fire for you then. He's on fire for you now, and he'll always be on fire for you. Sometimes as we're getting stirred up with the heart change, we got to almost go, you know, this isn't just about me. I'm loving him because he first loved me. There was something that I saw in Christmas past that made me on fire for him. It was the revelation that he was on fire for me, that he loved me, he died for me. And that's the same revelation we got to pull through with us in Christmas present. He's the same today. He wasn't just on fire for you then before you did all the dumb stuff after you got to know him. He's still on fire for you today, having known everything that you will have done, having covered anything that you will have done. He's still just as on fire. He's the same. He's the same. His love for you is the same. His passion, his excitement, his desire for you, he's as much interceding for you today as he was yesterday, today and forever. Beginning to see Jesus and remembering that and getting stirred up. Now, when we're talking about Christmas present too, and this is a big part of the heart change, and we kind of see this in the movie, the the ghost of Christmas present that brought Ebenezer Scrooge to the present time gave Ebenezer Scrooge a certain gift. And this is a gift that can only come from the Holy Spirit, especially as we're looking at the present. See, because when you're looking at the past, you've got the luxury of history, and you can look back. You might have to stir yourself up. When you're looking in the future, you can kind of speculate. But sometimes the hardest place to objectively know and identify where you are is now, because you're just so close to everything. You know, now in another 5 years, looking back, you'll have a perspective that you don't have now. Sometimes you can't see the forest through the trees, because everything is happening now. And the gift of Christmas present is really being able to see things as they are in an objective manner. And that's kind of the gift that Ebenezer Scrooge is given. At the beginning of the movie, he's critical. He's critical of the concept of Christmas. He's critical of his nephew, Fred, who's about to get married. He's got a fiance. Fred's all excited. He's just a sweet man and just really wants to encourage his uncle Scrooge to, you know, just to enjoy life and enjoy Christmas. And Scrooge is critical over, you know, his nephew and his relationship. He just thinks it's a joke. He shouldn't be wasting his time. You know, he's approached with some people wanting some almsgiving for the poor and the needy. You know, and Scrooge is like, oh, just, you know, let them die and decrease the surplus population. He's this hard-hearted man, and he's got this employee, Bob Cratchit, you know, who's got this little boy who's handicapped. He doesn't care about Bob, his life. He's just hard and very miserly with his wages. And so you see this upfront perspective. But now in Christmas present, the ghost of Christmas present gives Scrooge an opportunity to revisit some of these same things. But he's not in it anymore. He's on the outside looking at it. He's got this objective thing as he's with this angel to see the present from an outside viewpoint. It's kind of cool the way they do it. And one of the first things you see is you see two people people that are struggling. They've got, you know, they're trying to get food for their families, and they're just going at each other, and there's strife, and they're mad, and you know, Scrooge is right there just seeing the strife and the anger, and all of a sudden this ghost of Christmas present is able to just kind of put some Christmas joy toward them, and they go from yelling at each other and being mad to each other, and they just stop and go, oh, look at us. We're acting like a couple infants. I'm sorry. Hey, come on over. Why don't you have some food with my family and all that? So this thing of strife and jadedness just turns into peace and love and grace. And you can see Scrooge just going, whew. And then it happens again, you know, where you see this another altercation of people. And Scrooge is like seeing, oh, just the tension and the strife and the hatred. And then that angel again says, okay, well, let's get those guys with that same Christmas joy. And he gets those guys. And then all of a sudden they're just peace. Oh, it's great. You know, let's you know, work through some things. You know, just why don't you come over to our house? It's just, you can see the change. And Scrooge just goes, wow, we took care of that, didn't we? And the angel goes, yeah, we sure did. But what was Scrooge was actually seeing himself. He was able to step outside and just see that strife and that confusion, that jadedness, and just all of a sudden say, wow, no. There is a real peace. There is a real joy. There is a real love here. There's a stepping outside of yourself. He took him then, you know, they're kind of in the background, but he takes them to the church where his nephew Fred and his fiance are there. And that angel of Christmas present kind of plays devil's advocate. He says, yeah, they really, and you can see that they're happy. They're full of joy. He says, yeah, that was a joke. They shouldn't get married. Their love won't last. And Scrooge is like, that's not true. Look at them. They're very happy. I think their love will last, you know. But all of a sudden, you're kind of seeing in Christmas present, the dynamic is Scrooge is kind of taken out of his jaded mindset, and he's able to see things objectively. And then they visit over, you know, the home of Bob Cratchit, his employee, where there's little tiny Tim there too, and he's crippled, and it's not looking good. And you know, he says to the angel, is Tiny Tim going to make it? And the angel says, well, next time this year, Tiny Tim will not be here unless he gets certain help, you know, things like that. And so all of a sudden, this guy who's very kind of in his world of jadedness and hate and selfishness is pulled out and is able to see some things in an objective manner. That what we're calling the Christmas present. And as we're looking at that, I think a little bit of couple stories come to mind when I think of, just scripturally, where some things happen. I know when the altercation happened with David and Bathsheba, and the prophet Samuel or Nathan went to confront King David over it. He said, "Hey, King David, I want to tell you a little story. Story time." He says, "Once upon a time," and he said, "This is like really happened." There was this guy, and he had this little lamb, and he just loved this little lamb. And he was just, his family loved it. It was more like a pet, than anything. Just cherished this little lamb. He said, one day, this rich neighbor of his who owned everything, he was just a really rich guy, he was going to have some company over, and he decided he didn't want to waste any of his lambs, so he stole this lamb that belonged to this guy and just butchered it and had their meal with this, literally this pet of his poor neighbors. And David got so mad, he said, bring that man to me, and he's going to die. And Nathan says, you're the man. When you took Uriah's wife, this little guy, you had everything. And if you wanted more, I would have given you more. But you took that. And all of a sudden, David saw it, and he repented. Have mercy on me. But what happened? What is that? It's an objective of seeing something from the outside. When you're close up, you don't always see it from the perspective when you're in it. But when you see it from the outside, it's like, wow, we're talking about Christmas present. We're talking about a heart change through a process, okay? What is this? This is realizing and objectively seeing things as they are. And this is one of those things where it's one of those things that we've got to realize. And we've got to, sometimes we've just got to pray, Father, show me, help me to see things as they are. All I know is, your sheep hear your voice. I just want to follow your voice. I want to follow your voice. Help me to see things. Help me to see that big picture. Help me to see it, Father. Show me that. And we talk about, the ghost of Christmas present, the greatest teacher you have, Jesus sent. The Holy Spirit, who's been sent to lead and guide you into all truth. Like we said, you preach a sermon on here on a Sunday morning, yeah, but it's that second sermon that's going on right now. The Holy Spirit is showing you things. He's objectively, isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit can just show you in a moment of time things objectively without the insecurity and all that, but to just see it. That's a gift, thank God, that when you see that, that's not me or you being really smart or clever. That's the thank you, Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit. The Spirit is a spirit of a sound mind. And let me just put it this way. I'm just praying that this is going to resonate, okay? There are things you do. Faith is awkward. Faith isn't natural. It's not natural to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh for your flesh. It's natural for your human spirit. But you're going to find that the spirit lusts against the flesh lusts against, there's this battle going on. So you got to go against the grain of maybe what's popular, of what feels good, of what's fleshly. But when you make those steps to walk in the Spirit, and I'm just saying, again, it's like a cold shower to your flesh. It's awkward. Faith is awkward. But when you make those steps and say, I'm going to just pray. I'm not going to pray and probe for a feeling. I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to take some steps of faith. In that direction of the Spirit, just steps. You're doing some powerful things without any feelings. You're humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. And you will take those steps of faith. And as you walk in the Spirit, not only will you not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but you of the Spirit reap. The Spirit is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. When you begin to take awkward steps of faith, doing what you know God has told you to do. There is a reaping of the Spirit. There is a reaping of a sound mind. You can find yourself in a soundness of mind and almost think, wow, how did I get here? You sowed to the Spirit by faith. You took some steps. It's not drama. It's not passion, feeling. It's just some steps of faith. Steps of faith that will cause you to walk in the Spirit and reap of the Spirit. We're talking about present stuff, present heart change stuff. I'm not waiting for something. This ball is in my court to just do what I know to do. And as you begin to take some of those steps, man, you'll reap these things. You'll reap the power, reap the love, reap the soundness of mind that you didn't have before. By faith forgiving, by faith casting those cares on the Lord, by faith saying, Lord, just show me what to do with this. By faith, Lord, saying, Lord, show me the big picture here. Simple prayers, just a couple seconds from the heart. That's it. And as you begin to pray those simple prayers, he'll begin to answer those simple prayers. As we're doing it, a few things to keep in mind. As far as present, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. As you take those steps in the Spirit, I can tell you one thing. There is no condemnation. Does that mean that you're perfect and you got it figured out? No. It means I was going in the flesh, but I'm by the faith, through the awkwardness of faith, I'm walking in the Spirit. And one thing about when I'm walking in this direction, there is no condemnation. There is just none. It's not there. Again, doesn't mean that you're perfect, that you've overcome everything, but you're walking in the direction of no condemnation. There is now, therefore, in the present moment, Christmas present, there is no condemnation. I'm taking those steps of faith. Praise God. I'm taking those steps. And I love this passage. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Passion, how much more shall the sacred blood of the Messiah thoroughly cleanse our conscience? For by the power of the eternal Spirit, he's offered himself to God as the perfect sacrifice that now frees us from our dead works to worship and serve the living God. As we're walking in the present, we're not walking with an overcoming sense in the sense that I'm going to be good when I overcome this. No, you're walking in a condemnation-free zone when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're taking those steps. You know, I know it can be intimidating when you kind of look at the present and think, this needs to get fixed, and this needs to get fixed, and that needs to come around, and that. You can kind of take an inventory, but it's not about that. In the present. The present's just about one thing. If your eye is single, your whole body's full of light. I'm just walking in the direction of Jesus. And as he just shows me things, you could have something that was just a really big thing, and you could just take a 3-second prayer. Lord, I just cast that over on you in Jesus' name. I'm not going to touch that unless you show me what to see with that. I mean, these are just steps of faith that you're taking. God honors those. They're a big deal to him. Do you understand? I know we live in just a really big series. You know, we've got a lot of stuff going on as far as teaching and things like that, and it's all good, and it's God. But the things that can change your life just take moments when you just begin to call out to the Lord, cry out to the Lord. And it can be a humbling thing. When you just have one genuine heart cry, God will honor that. He'll bless you. And you think, wow, is that all it was? All the running around, all the worrying around, and I could just pray a simple prayer. Yes. God responds to that. He'll respond to your simple prayers and bless you and strengthen you by the power of his Spirit in Christmas present. Finally, Christmas future. And this is kind of the great story of the Christmas carol. It's not too late to change. It's not too late to change. As the story goes on, you see the Christmas future ghost come to Ebenezer Scrooge, and he goes, wow, I fear you most of all, because he sees a certain trajectory of his life, and he knows that he's going to take him into the future of his current trajectory. And as he goes to the future, sure enough, Tiny Tim is no longer with him. He sees the grieving dad, his employee, and he sees us, so this kind of mysterious man who passes. We don't know who he is. They don't show who he is right away. He just knows that he's passed and nobody mourns for him. Nobody cares. And he's just feeling sad for this mysterious man who has just died and nobody even seems to care. But you can already see the man he started out to be. His heart is a lot softer by this part of the process of the heart change. And as he kind of comes toward the end of the movie, you know, he's going, I am that man. You know, I am that man who passes, who had no impact in his world, who made no difference. And he started to cry out to the, you know, that ghost of Christmas, is this the way it is? Is this my end? Is this how I, you know, and you know, depending on the movie that you see the version of it, all of a sudden, you know, it's like he's going, and he kind of wakes up. He'll come to himself in his room, and he realizes that he's back. He's back in real life. He's back in his present time, and it's not too late. It's not too late to change. And you see, and this is really the joy. This is the joy of this movie. You know, the charm of the movie, whatever you want to say, is the heart change. And you see this guy who starts out as this miserly, angry man turn into this genuine, sweet-hearted, kind spirit who's, you know, helping his fiance, making him a partner in his business, and reaching out to the poor and giving and helping them, and just being generous to Bob Cratchit and his family and Tiny Tim, and all, gives Bob Cratchit a raise, and, you know, it's just going to help. He just becomes this new man. But he's so excited that it's not too late. He's so excited. And here's the irony of the end of this movie that is so celebrated. That's the exclamation mark. That's the, you know, the punctuation of the whole movie. It really comes down to this. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves. What indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. The thing that we celebrate in a Christmas carol, we're celebrating repentance. But it doesn't seem like repentance. It doesn't feel like repentance. It feels like a new lease on life. It feels like a second chance. It feels like I can change. You know, there is the most intimidating prospect of change isn't the person you're wanting to see changed. It's you believing that you, who you know all these years, can change. That you can, that it's not too late for you to change. That you could change into something there, but you've been jaded about what that is. But your heart is changed. And Ebenezer Scrooge was no more jaded about giving to the poor. He was no more jaded about holiday cheer and spirit. No more jaded about generosity. No more jaded about kindness. He now believed in it. He now believed in the thing that he mocked, the thing that he undermined. And he changed. Pretty powerful thing. And now I'm talking about us. I'm talking about me and you now too. The Hallmark heart changes, these are not Hallmark. These are process-oriented heart changes where you're saying, yeah, hey, I'm still here. I still got a chance to change. I can change the way I think. I can change the way I act. I can change the way I do. I can repent. Wow, awesome. That's a pretty cool, you know, repentance is a gift. It's blessing. This is the an example. This is an exhortation given to Timothy. It said, the Lord's servant must not quarrel, but be kind to everyone. They must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. They should gently teach those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will believe the truth and they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they've been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. That's really a perfect picture of Scrooge. He was a captive. He was a captive to the enemy. But something happened. There was a heart change, and he came to his senses. Like the prodigal son going that direction, he came to his senses, and he went back to the Father. There's a heart change that happens in people. There's a heart change in us. And this is what I'll just kind of throw out this morning. There's a Christmas gift of a heart change in areas maybe we feel like we've had to be bound, that our hearts can change. Our hearts can change. We can be free of those things we've been jaded about. In some cases, you can become one of those. That was the case of Scrooge. In the end, he became one of those. And he was so glad he had the chance to become one of those. A total change of heart. It's a joyful repentance. That God will change their people's heart. He'll give them an opportunity to change, to repent, to come back to themselves. It's a beautiful picture, really, of the gift of repentance. Psalm says, because he set his love upon me, I'll deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He'll call on me. I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him, honor him with long life. I'll satisfy him, show him my salvation. That's that heart change. Looking as for, I'm going to read the second one of Hebrews. It says, we look away from the natural realm. We fasten our gaze unto Jesus who birthed faith within us, who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross, conquered the humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So we're looking away from the natural realm as we fasten our gaze unto Jesus. What is it? It is the looking unto him. Finally, 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. With no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We're being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. In other words, there is a change. It's not too late to change. It's not too late to look unto Jesus. And the cool thing of it is all the stuff that you know of your own stubborn old self that refuses to make some changes that you know you probably should change, that ability to make those changes comes from the Spirit of God. There is a work of the Spirit that gives you the grace to make the change that comes from looking unto him. I'll tell you what, by the time Scrooge came to himself, he was shameless about the privilege of still being able to change. That's a heart change from the inside out. He wasn't cared what anybody said or thought. He was thankful for the privilege and the opportunity. He saw the trajectory of his life going into Christmas future. And it really is kind of a challenge for all of us to say, all right, what's our trajectory? Do we like this? We can change. It doesn't have to be this way. Praise God. As we're looking unto him, he changes us from glory to glory. So a Christmas carol, turning a human heart. Christmas past. It's a time to count your blessings. History revision. We don't want to let the enemy define our history for us in our heads. We want to continually stir up the goodness and the blessing and believe to see the goodness of the Lord because he's been good to us. Stir up the things. If you're a Christian, there's a lot of stuff in Christ realities. You can just go down the line as far as what he's done for you, apart from all the good things he's done in your life. Christmas present, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. He is a very present help right now. He is here with us now. The same Jesus who you knew is the same Jesus now. He hasn't changed. His love for you is the same. He's just as on fire for you now as he was then. And then Christmas future, it's not too late to change. Whatever it is, man, we've got some areas of our own life. Maybe we've been Scrooges in. Well, thank God we can undergo those heart transformations in the same way. Thank you. As we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. As we behold him, we're changed from glory to glory. And that can be our heart cry too. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for just the fact that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change. We don't have to try to keep track of you. Father God, as far as the way you are, there's not even a variableness or shadow of turning with you. You are the same. We're thankful for it, Lord. You are the rock that is higher than I, that fixed point that we can always go to and know it doesn't change. Father, I just pray this morning for each of us, especially as we're going through this Christmas season, as we're inspired by stories of heart changes throughout this Christmas season, help us to remember you are the same. We can stir ourselves up in your goodness. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. You've been so good to me. I stir myself up. My history is full of the goodness of God. I'm a blessed person. And I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because you have been good, you will be good. You are the same. So I look to you. Show me. Help me to see things as they are. To have compassion. To have empathy. To see it from the outside. Objectively. To minister love. To minister grace. To realize I may be wrong. And I need to change. It's not too late to change. I thank you I'm here today. I'm alive and breathing. I can change as I behold you. My heart cry, Lord, any areas of my heart that are like Scrooge will be changed, that I'll become a new man, a new woman, and change the way I live. Not because I have to, because I get to, because my life can be different. It can be amazing when I take those steps of faith, awkward steps of faith, but according to your word, your spirit's there and you change me and I enjoy my life to the fullest. My heart changed to be everything you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. Like I said, I watch that movie every year, and there, you know, sometimes you can watch a movie and there's a second sermon going on when you're watching a movie too, not just in church on a Sunday morning. So anyway, that's been, as I've watched that movie through the years, I've always had kind of that second sermon. I thought, all right, well, I'm going to preach that second sermon one of these days. And just say, you know, all of us have areas that we got to realize that no matter how, a lot, because you know what, if we're not willing to change, if there's an area we're playing hard to get with God and we know we're being a Scrooge with God about some things, there's some things about the past that have to do with why we are the way we are today. There's some things that we're not honestly dealing with about in the present. And because of that, we kind of see a trajectory of where this is going. Say, nah, I don't want to be the man I was. I want to be a new man, a new woman. I want to change. I'm going to revisit that. In the light of this area that I'm being stubborn in, I'm saying God is a good God, and I can trust him with that area too. He's been faithful here, 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 and he'll be faithful with that. Father, just show me. I release that to you in the name of Jesus, and that's not going to be an anchor around me anymore. I'm going to be a new person. I'm going to be free from that thing too. Amen. No Scrooges. Praise God.